We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. It's always a pleasure when we get to say hello to our longtime friend, Chris Dortch of Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. Chris, how are you?
I'm well, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing quite well. And I know that it really the clock never stops ticking when it comes to the next or upcoming edition, which I believe will be the 41st of Blue Ribbon when we get to this next season. But in your mind, what was it like to just watch and see the transformation and the additions, subtractions for Tennessee basketball, whether it be Coach Barnes' staff or the roster itself of late?
You know, it was interesting. I learned a few things about Rick Barnes that I probably knew already, but, you know, we chatted a couple times during the process, and the thing about him is that he's been around, and he's just so... He didn't panic at all. I mean, he lost two key assistants. Six people entered the portal. He just calmly, coolly went about getting replacements. And, I mean, he selected well. I mean, Coach Clark from Austin Peay, I think Texas A&M and Florida were circling around him before Rick made the offer. They knew that in recruiting, they wanted a couple of certain commodities. They needed a rim protector. They needed shooting, and you know they were just able to be able to get it. And in replacing Desmond Oliver with Justin Gainey, that opened up a pathway for Jonas Idu, and he's a big time. I was just watching tape of him before I came on your show. He's a big time shot blocker. He's got potential as a face up big man. And so, you know, by patiently waiting, and he was able to get Justin Gainey, and Justin Gainey was the reason Idu was at Marquette. And when that staff got fired with Coach Wojciechowski, he was on the open market again. And then the big guy, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, just happens to be from Clarksville, and he just happened to reclassify, and talking to him for more than a year. And that was just something that I don't think they expected this kind of bonanza. I think they were willing to go into the portal if they needed to, which they did for a guard, if they had needed to. But I think just by being patient and making good hires and good decisions, and again, Coach Barnes was just measured and reserved and calm in his decision-making, and I was just really impressed by that, you know, just his demeanor. It's like, you know, I've got a plan. I need to find the right people. I'm not going to panic. And it was just, I think it was impressive to watch. You know, he has been around. He's 66 and he's coached five different Division I programs, but you would think he knows what he's doing. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but it was just, you know, impressive to kind of see him, you know, especially without two assistants, kind of get it together. And I think they rebuilt as quickly and as well as anybody in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And if you look at ESPN Top 100, which just was released today, I had Paul Biancardi on my podcast, which was just released today on Apple and Spotify, and he talked a lot about the prospects that Tennessee is bringing in, and how quickly. I think they were in the 20s, and now they're just looking at it. They're number four in the country, and so it's pretty impressive what they were able to do.
Chris, with John Fulkerson's return, obviously that's great news for Tennessee, but do you think Tennessee still needs to identify another inside scorer to help him?
That's a real good question, Jimmy. And I'll tell you what, they've got one more scholarship, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they found a guy like that and used it on him. It really wouldn't. But I do think that the two bigs they got, although they're non-traditional bigs, I say non-traditional, maybe they're more new age bigs, which would make them traditional now, but they're face up guys. They can face up, and I think they'll have to be taught to score in the paint. But I think they've got enough people, and Olivier Kamwa, again, I've spoken to Rick a couple of times in the last month or so, and he talked about, he really has not given up on that kid. He thinks that he's got a ton of potential that's just sitting out there that hasn't been tapped yet. So, but even still, I really do. I think that if somebody, and I don't mean it in a negative way to say dropped in their lap, because like I said earlier, you don't drop in Rick Barnes' lap. He's got a plan. But if somebody just happened to come along, they may take him just on the basis of being just like you said, an inside scorer. And I think they found out a couple of things this past year. You know, people were saying that I've seen it written, and I guess I don't know, as I've gotten older, I just, my definition of what's good and bad has changed. But, you know, people talked about the season being a disappointment, and yeah, they didn't win as many games as they wanted or went as far in the NCAAs, but they were racked with COVID. People just don't understand that. I think Folke kind of revealed that in his Zoom press conference yesterday. He was really messed up with it. And now he's back and he's healthy, and, you know, he apparently has not had any after effects from getting conked in the head in the NCAAs, in the SEC tournament. So I think they did pretty well. I think they were young. And then the two guys that they needed to rely on, their youngest guys, I think Folke was laid low by COVID, but you would never hear him complain. I think that was a big factor.
Hey, Chris, even though Tennessee's losing Pons and Springer and Johnson, talented players, do you think Tennessee can be better, mainly because they will have what I think is a pure point guard in Kennedy Chandler?
I do, Jimmy, and that's a question I posed of Paul Biancardi on my podcast. It's called the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Podcast. You would think we'd call it something like that. I asked about him specifically, and, he's a guy, he's a commodity that they haven't had in a while, and that is Bone could do that. Bone's athleticism was off the charts. But Kennedy Chandler, if you remember, Bone had some struggles finishing at the rim for his first couple of years. Chandler is a guy, first of all, he's pass first. He's a blow-by point guard that can get in the rim. And then he can do a lot of things. He can score at the rim. He can drop it off. He can spray it out, like Alabama calls it, spraying the ball to three-point shooters on the perimeter. And I think he's going to be the guy that stirs the drink. And then what that allows Rick to do, if he wants to, is he can move Vescovi to a two. And Vescovi, he saved the day in a lot of ways. When he came in as a freshman, and last year he handled it the best he could. But I think he's a two guard. And, with him on the wing and Justin Powell on another wing, and both of them able to fill in at the point, I think they're going to be maybe better in a lot of ways. And then don't discount Jemiah Mashak. I asked Ian Carty about him as well on my podcast, and he said the kid's built like a linebacker, and he's just a real competitor. He's smart enough early on, or somebody taught him early on, that defense is going to get you on the floor. He's Rick Barnes type of dude, you know, and he's an SEC-sized wing. He's the kind of guy that you got to do battle with now that Nate Oates is in the league, because he's going to keep recruiting 6'5 to 6'7 wings that can shoot it, and you have to have people that can guard those guys.
Chris, what has it been like to you did a really nice job breaking down what Tennessee has added and really in such a quick period of time, but what are your thoughts on what have been the strongest additions to the programs around the conference after you had such seasons posted by teams that you just talked about, Alabama for one, and another would be Arkansas?
Yeah, Arkansas is they're always going to do things by the transfer. There's no question. So they've taken three D1 transfers, including a kid from South Dakota that averaged 20, and everybody wanted him, but Arkansas got him. Coach Eric Musselman was dealing in the portal before that was cool. You know, he's always done it, and so they're able to you know, just kind of rebuild. And the thing about it is, there used to be a negative connotation, sort of, if you were a transfer. Maybe you had trouble, you got run off, whatever, your academic problems, you couldn't play as well as people thought. Now it's just like, it's part of the culture, and you've got to deal with it. So, yeah, I think Arkansas reloaded really well. I think Alabama reloaded extremely well. They got a kid named J.D. Davidson. Davison, he's one of the best point guards, right up there with Kennedy Chandler. And then they got some transfers, too. This kid, Namari Burnett from Texas Tech, he's another bigger wing. Kid named Noah Gurley from Furman, who was, I think he had Tennessee on his list for a while, but he's a 6'8", you know, kind of a perimeter guy. So they just keep restocking with those kind of, like I said, big wings. And then Kentucky, right now, if you look at, I keep mentioning this, but I'm not getting paid by them, I promise, but ESPN's top 100 just got released today, and Kentucky's recruiting class is number 5. They got another point guard in a long line, a kid named Nolan Hickman. They got a combo forward named Bryce Hopkins, a big named Damian Collins. These are all in their top 50. ESPN's top 50. So those are, lest I forget about Cousin Brucey. Auburn has signed a kid named Jabari Smith. He's the number 5 prospect in ESPN's top 100. They got a 4-star guard named Trey Alexander. And even though they lost Sharif Cooper and Justin Powell, they went to the transfer market hard too. And they got one of the top transfers in the country, and Walker Kessler, who had come from UNC and left after Roy Williams retired. So, you know, this is going to be a powerful league in evaluating it. I mean, I said maybe Georgia, Texas A&M are going to be near the bottom. Vanderbilt, I think, is retooled. So other than Georgia and Texas A&M, and you never know with Buzz Williams because he's a great coach, but it's going to kind of be a dogfight. I think South Carolina's retooled, and I think I saw where A.J. Lawson signed with an agent, so he's gone. So I don't know about them, but it's an ever-improving league. I think that since the advent of the SEC Network, the advent of a full-time associate commissioner for basketball to advocate for basketball, and then just the addition of some coaches, Ben Holland at Mississippi State, Kermit Davis at Ole Miss, Rick Barnes, Bruce Pearl coming back into the league. There's good coaching throughout. So it's going to be a meat grinder. I really think Eric Musselman and Nate Oates have lent a ton to the league, and they're never going to go anywhere. The style that they play, they're always going to get players, and they're always going to be tough. So I think it's become a really, really good basketball league.
One other quick thing. We just have a few seconds left. You talked about the SEC. This is dated a little bit. There were 35 top 35 in the transfer portal. 17 had picked SEC schools. Chris, that would make this league even tougher, wouldn't it?
I think so. I think that, and you know, case in point, Tennessee. I mean, they needed a guard, a plug-and-play guard, and they get Justin Powell. He's 6'6", shoots it, can play the point. He played the point before Sharif Cooper got eligible, and he had a couple of 9-assist games, a couple of 26-point games. So, yeah, I think people want to play for the SEC now for the reasons I listed earlier.
Chris, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. You mentioned the podcast. Tell folks how they can find that.
You can go on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.
And, of course, it's always worth the time to visit BlueRibbonYearbook.com. Always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. That's Chris Dortch, editor, publisher of Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook.